G'day, Stephen.
How are you, Steve?
Yeah, I'm well, thank you. What do you make of this 26% jump in annual profit at Woolies?
Well, I mean, from a shareholder point of view, it's a wonderful performance. To lift profits by 25% when everyone else is hurting means that Woolies is obviously making a lot of money. But the flip side of that is that that's obviously got to come from somewhere.
Yeah.
And I just think it's a very telling insight into the power that Woolworths have, and they're dominant position, and they can negotiate very tough deals with their suppliers, because if you're not in Woolworths, you can't get your product out there. And I think you're seeing the fruits of that power in these figures.
You've called Woolworths a notorious middleman, and you point to an element of the Woolworths balance sheet that sort of bears out how they are screwing suppliers.
Well, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, Woolies, like any retailer, are just the middleman where creators and makers of product can sell them to customers. But if you look at the Woolworths balance sheet, it says that as of June 30, they had inventories of $3 billion. So they had $3 billion worth of stock sitting on their balance sheet. But they actually had accounts payable of $4.8 billion. So it basically means that Woolworths is a virtual supermarket. They're a retailer that doesn't have any stock. They've got negative $1.8 billion in payables. And what that actually means is that they are selling the goods that they are given by their suppliers before they're actually paying for it. And that basically says they're incredibly powerful. They can push their suppliers off to, 60, 90 days or whatever the terms are. And they're so efficient, which is good for them, they can sell the goods before they pay for it. Now, at one level, that's efficient. At another level, that's, gouging and power. And I think that, suppliers should be getting paid earlier.
In fact, when you analyse that a little bit further, they have about a 50% surplus. So depending on their days that it takes to turn their inventory over, that's a long time that they're using other people's cash for. And I would have thought pretty powerful evidence of market power.
Well, that's my position. Is Woolworths was floated back in 1993 at $2.45 a share. Now, the share price is up 50 cents today to $27.20. It's up 2%, so the market's very impressed. So clearly the share price has increased about 12-fold, and they've also paid back, including the dividend they announced yesterday, they will have paid back $5.41 in dividends. So investors who bought into the float have received double their money in dividends, plus the share price has gone from $2.45 to $27.20. And this company that was floated for $2.5 billion is now our seventh biggest Australian-based company, with a market capitalisation of $33 billion, which is bigger than the ANZ Bank and bigger than Westfield, which is the world's biggest shopping centre company. And I simply say to you that all of that value is being created by the way that Woolworths deals with its suppliers, in that they basically are the middleman, and they have captured an awful lot of the value by dint of their market power.
That goes to support the position held by people like Bob Catter and other advocates for farmers and other suppliers, that there is some sound, financial basis to say that Woolworths is screwing its suppliers on terms.
Well, I think that negative stock of $1.8 billion is as stark as you can get. I mean, that just screams out that people are being done over. And the other fact which a lot of people complain about, and a friend of mine is the sales manager for a multinational that sells more than $1 billion in Australia, and he complains that Woolworths won't let them, introduce new product without having Woolworths take too much of the profit margin. So he just says it stifles product innovation. We're not going to produce new products because Woolworths will come along and say, you've got to give us this share of the margin. And then there's all those people who complain about Woolworths not letting them sell under their own brands, that you have to sell under the Woolworths house brand, or the select brand as they call it. Now, I would have thought that if you want to supply a product, you should be able to supply it under your own brand. You shouldn't have to, in some circumstances, go to a no brand or a Woolworths brand situation. And once again, that is market power and more profit margins for Woolies.
And squashing otherwise what would otherwise be product innovation by other Australian companies.
Well, that's what, this guy my friend works for a multinational. I wouldn't normally feel sorry for a company worth tens of billions of dollars, but he says he looks around the world and their company has never come across a situation like Australia, where the big two supermarket chains have, you know, 70, more than 70% of the dry grocery market. So if you're in the dry grocery space, Coles and Woolies can just say to you, well, sorry, mate, it's our way or the highway, because where else are you going to go?
Briefly, Stephen, what does that say about Graeme Samuels and the whitewash report? I mean, that's my opinion, you know my opinion, about the grocery price inquiry.
Well, I just think it's you know, it's really weak, and all the evidence is there that you know, what you need to do is facilitate, you know, more competition. So the big mistake that happened in Australia was that when Franklin's fell in 2001, the then ACCC boss, Alan Searles, allowed the best stores to be carved up by Coles and Woolies, and the Woolies share price has gone from, you know, $8 or $9 to $30 since then. That's when the profits really took off, when it became a duopoly, when Franklin's fell. And my point of view is they should never have been allowed to carve up Franklin's. And the only way you're going to get a return to a more normal system is that it forced Coles and Woolies to divest of some of their stores. And in the US and the UK, the regulators can force companies that have too much power to dispose of assets, but we don't have those laws in Australia, so it's a pretty difficult situation.
And I've asked Chris Bowen, the minister, whether he is of a view to do that. His answer, absolutely not. Stephen Mayne from mainreport.com.au, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thanks, Mike.